Hi, welcome to The Heart of It. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Hart. I'm a psychologist, a wife, a mother of two teenagers, and I've been using alternative medicine for my family and friends for over 30 years. On this show, I bring you interviews with experts in the fields of nutrition, alternative methods of healing, and relationships so that you can have the latest, most practical information to use when you make important decisions about your health, heart, and home. What you hear today may surprise you. We're going to be exploring the world of karate today with the expert of experts in karate, Master Pat Burleson, a man who has done it all, from winning world championships, performing in movies with Chuck Norris. He was Elvis's personal instructor, and he is now devoting most of his time to sharing his knowledge with children and adults in ways that you might not expect. I want to get right to my interview with Master Burleson. So if you would like to know more about my show, my sponsors, other topics I have scheduled, or me, I invite you to visit my website, www.theheartofit.com. That's heart spelled H-A-R-T, like my name, theheartofit.com. And if you'd like to write me, you can email me at linda@theheartofit.com. I'm so pleased to introduce Master Pat Burleson. Many, many people study karate, and some of those people become leaders in karate and instructors. But the man that we will be listening to today is more than that. He is a man with vision, a person who isn't afraid to step out of the mold and take karate to places that I don't believe many other people have. Master Pat Burleson is a 10th degree black belt who won the first national karate championship in the United States. And for those of you unfamiliar with karate, a 10th degree black belt means that he earned a black belt basically 10 times over. He earned a black belt and then went on to the next level, which was a second degree black belt, and on to the 10th, which is the highest degree black belt that you can earn. He is on the board of directors for the World Martial Arts Ranking Association and was recently inducted into the Texas Hall of Fame as a martial arts pioneer. Master Burleson began his education in the martial arts in the late 50s by studying fighting systems from China, Japan, and Korea. He combined the most effective fighting techniques that he learned into his own style, which he termed American karate. He has been a friend of Chuck Norris for over 30 years and was Elvis's personal instructor. He trained Steve McQueen and had a close personal and professional relationship with Bruce Lee. He has appeared in many popular feature films, primarily performing stunt work. But his film and television work are secondary in importance to his family martial arts programs, which stress building confidence and physical fitness. He conducts karate-related workshops and seminars for martial arts associations, schools, colleges, and Fortune 500 companies all over the world, and has produced a series of instructional videos, one of the most popular of which is How to Be a Black Belt in Life. His personal website, Karate USA, offers self-defense tips and martial arts history, as well as tournament and seminar information. I'm very pleased to welcome you, Master Pat Burleson, to The Heart of It.
Dr. Hart, thank you for the flattering introduction. I'm very pleased to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Well, if there's anyone who has ever earned accolades, it is you. I'd like to ask you, you are one of the pioneers of martial arts. What were those early days of karate like? We take it for granted now, but I guess there was a time when karate was something that people had not really heard of.
Well, that's dramatically changed over the last 40, 50 years in the United States. Mostly it was imported here by different servicemen that came from different Oriental countries. There, you got your Chinese versions of martial arts, your Korean and your Japanese. In the late 50s, early 60s, the first karate school that I opened, I wrote karate on the window, and the first few people walked in thought it was a Chinese restaurant.
Oh. was in for a surprise.
The curriculum of the art itself has just made a major shift over the years. Initially, no one knew what it was like, and there was just basically myths surrounding it. So we got a lot of people that initially came through the doors, had a challenging nature. So we presented martial arts in a kind of a fighting and a proving ground initially in the early 60s. So we put a lot of emphasis on the self-defense ability, a lot of emphasis on the competition ability. Over the years, it slowly shifted. It got away from that and started getting full circle about what martial arts really is, and got into the character skill values and started opening it up to families and children.
I mostly want to talk about the present and what you're doing now with karate, Master Burleson. However, I just have to ask about Elvis. Everyone has heard and seen Elvis Presley, and I know I have the images of him doing his karate moves on stage, and I know karate was very important to him. I was surprised to find out that you were Elvis's personal instructor, and I wondered if you could just tell us a little bit about what that was like, what he was like in those early days of learning karate.
Well, actually, put it in its true perspective, when Elvis voluntarily served in the Army when he was drafted, he was stationed in Germany, and he originally picked up and started studying there. I'm not sure who it was from. And when he came back to the States, there were many people that were his instructors. His major instructor was a man from Los Angeles called Ed Parker. And then there was various people like me from time to time that he took lessons from. It was a kind of a happen chance thing. I was in Memphis doing some workshops, and at that time it was a big deal that I was the national karate champion. So there was a local school there, kind of had a bad reputation and everything, but they had an instructor in from Japan, and they issued me a challenge match if I would come over to their school and fight their instructor. So that caught the radio stations there in Memphis. I went over, and as it turns out, it was a friendly match. It really wasn't a challenge match. We had a good time with each other, and then Elvis called over where I was staying and asked me if I would come out to Graceland and visit with him, and that's how we got acquainted initially. And over a period of years, I was there off and on just a few times, and so I really wasn't his primary teacher. I just added to his education some.
Why do you think karate was important to Elvis?
Elvis told me one time that aside from his love for music, karate was his second love in life.
Wow.
The films back then, again, karate, the term of competition was, it was called the blood and guts days of karate. We didn't have safety equipment. It wasn't a safe art. You had a lot of injuries in the competition and everything. So Elvis's entertainment contracts and everything would not allow him to actually get involved with that aspect of karate. So he had to seek it out kind of behind the line scenes, if you will, rather than being open in the public and getting into competition. But he loved it, and he was a hard player, and his skill level was quite good.
You know, that's a perfect lead-in to where we want to go now with what you're doing now, because you said that karate started out as blood and guts, and I think people still have that image often with karate. But I know because of my own children being involved in the family karate and myself that your focus in family karate, actually, you spend a lot of time teaching children ways to avoid fights.
What I'm doing, Linda, is I try to draw parallels as to the successes you get on the karate mat with your martial arts skills, how they can reflect on being a winner and being successful in life. And when I travel and go to karate schools or companies, corporations, family events, and where there's children involved, I have a concept called the PAT principle. And the reason I came up with that is we all know that if you go to a workshop or a seminar and you hear ideas that you like, most of the time you can't retain them after 15 days unless there's some way that the person that's doing the instruction can anchor it in. So I anchored it in with my name, PAT principle, P-A-T. P stands for preparation. A stands for attitude, and T stands for tenacity. And I got a couple, three nice stories to go with each one of those if we have time for it.
Yes, could you please do that?
All right. The first letter of my name, P, stands for Preparation. Preparation simply is another way of stating it. We all in life have to have goals. And my friend Zig Ziglar in Dallas says that if you fail to plan in life, that is a plan for failure, which I agree with. And to develop preparation in life, martial arts has what they call a boot camp. As you go through the initial training, you also stand in the correct postures, and there's the discipline of being in the postures similar to boot camp, military boot camp. So it prepares the mind to where it follows goals. See, most people in life actually don't have their mind in charge of their body, especially in more than one area. Now, you might see somebody that's disciplined in one area. You might see somebody that is very successful financially, but they weigh 400, 500, 600 pounds, and they got organs failing, and they're getting ready to die. So they hadn't had any discipline or any preparation in their health. Vice versa, you might see somebody that is an Ironman competitor and just is in phenomenal condition, but in their family life, they may have their family may be in shambles simply because they haven't put their mind in charge of there. So it's a question in all areas of your life, balancing it out and setting goals and preparing to be successful in there. So a lot of the things that we do in martial arts, we can draw that parallel and we can help people make changes in their life, especially young children.
That's so important, and that's so true, in, as you say, in every area of life. And then I know the next part of the PAT principle is attitude.
A for attitude. I've got a story on that. I work with a lot of colleges and corporations as well. In fact, just got through doing over a year's work with American Airlines after 9/11. I taught pilots and flight attendants these same skills in Dallas at the corporate office. But I was in Sacramento, California. I was asked to go there for a workshop. Sac State decided that they were going to develop a championship football team. They'd been mainly putting emphasis on academics most of the history of Sac State. So they hired me to come out there and do a motivational talk with a football team. So this is all about attitude right here, a real quick story. When I got there, when I was picked up and when I was toured on the campus, I noticed that all that they were getting ready for their big game with their rival that had never been beaten in their conference, and that's the Grizzlies in Montana in the Big Sky Conference. So all they talked about was Grizzlies, how tough the Grizzlies were and how no one's ever beat them, and they couldn't be beat, et cetera, et cetera. So I prepared going into that. Back in Dallas before I came, I got Sac State, I got the Sacramento newspaper, and I changed the headlines to Sac State upsets and a startling victory over the Grizzly Montanas. And then I made another Newsline article. I said, Sac State wins a Big Sky Conference, first time in history. So anyway, when we got in the locker room, had to get all the football players' attention, so I did a martial art technique. I had two big football players stand up on chairs, hold a rope, and I stood up and cheered. We had a rope about 7 foot in the air. So I did a front judo breakfall over that, landed on the concrete locker room floor. So those guys...
Wait, you jumped over that?
Yeah, so those guys took a look at that. Their eyes got pretty big, and I says, now, the first question I have is, do you think that you can give me your undivided attention when we go out on the field tomorrow, and I can perhaps show you some techniques that will help on your clash, how to take your opponent out, and how to keep them having as many injuries as you have. So after I got their attention, then I said, look, the minute I got here, and I talked to them about attitude. Attitude was everything. I said, the minute I got here, picked me up at the airport, all I heard was about Montana Grizzlies. Got around on the campus, Montana Grizzlies. I said, and everybody that I've talked to here has talked about Montana Grizzlies. I said, I don't want to hear about Montana Grizzlies. I want to hear about Sac State. What you guys can do. Is there anybody in here that can tell me what you guys can do? So I started a little pep rally, and I got a couple of guys finally that spoke up and everything. And I said, what you guys need is believability in your attitude. None of you in here, you're not going to win that football game unless you believe you can, your attitude. So I said, let me give you something to hold on to. I said, first of all, none of us in this locker room can walk up to a Grizzly and single hand defeat that Grizzly. I said, you've got something going for you that the Grizzlies don't. What are you guys? We're Hornets. What do Hornets do? Do you think a swarm of Hornets could drive a grizzly bear crazy? I said, all you got to do right now is listen to your coaching staff. You got best coaching staff around here. Listen to them. You got teamwork. Teamwork with the Hornets can beat the Grizzlies. So that was their fight chant. They went into it. It's teamwork with the Hornets can defeat a Grizzly. And the coaches went crazy over that because, you know, they've been teaching teamwork anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, to make a long story short, I passed out the news lines. I said, is there anybody in this locker room can believe this that you're going to win this game tomorrow night? Is there anybody can believe this? And Sac stayed upset. So I got quite a rally going, and I went on a plane with them to Montana, went out on their field with the coaching staff, and for the first time in history, they didn't beat Montana, but they went into three overtimes, and then Montana delivered a pass and won the victory. It took them three overtimes. Then Montana did something they'd never did before. We played on their home stadium. They all got up and gave California a standing ovation when they left the field. So we got back, the coaches, they built on that, but it was all about attitude.
Wow, what a great story. That is a great story. We have just a few minutes left. Do you have a good story about your third?
Tenacity, we have time for that one?
Yeah, tenacity.
All right, the last letter in my first name is T for tenacity. And when I was a young child, I noticed something that stuck with me, Belinda, for all my life. We were walking home from school, and there was this one bully that wanted to pick a fight with this other kid. This other kid was scared to death of him. So he wouldn't fight him, and the whole crowd walked over in front of the kid's house and started chanting. So the kid that was being picked on, his father come to the front door. And he said, what do you kids want? And he said, we're going to beat your wimpy. This guy's bully says, I'm going to whip your wimpy son. He didn't want to come out and fight him. So this father did something I'll never forget. He told his son, he said, you go out there and you do your best and you fight that boy. So he went out there and he tried a little bit, but the bully beat him up, bloodied his nose. So finally the father went out there. He very gently picked his son up and wiped his nose off. And he looked at bully in the eye and he says, all right, you whipped him, but he fought you and he tried his best. Now, you shake his hand, or I'm going to whip you even if I go to jail. So the two kids shook hands, and everybody walked off. That happened with me and my youngest son when he was about 9 years old. He was fighting a karate match in Dallas, and he drew a kid that outweighed him out of division, shouldn't have been in that division. His kid lied about his age, and he outweighed him about 50 pounds, and it was just a, you know, way one-sided match. So
wow.
My son, Chance, got kicked in the stomach, so it knocked him unconscious, and he's laying there on the floor. So everybody was standing around, and they were going to stop the match and everything. I walked over, and my son looked at me like, oh, boy, Dad's going to save me. And I looked down at him, and I said, all right, we're going to see what you're made out of. Get up there and do your best. So he stood up, he fought the kid, and fortunately, he outpointed him and beat the big kid. So that was 15, 20 years ago. And the problems my son's encountered as an adult now, he came to me with a particular...
Pat, you know what? We need to go to a break. Can you keep that thought, and we'll start with that when we come back?
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
We'll be right back with more of The Heart of It. And we're back with more of The Heart of It with Master Pat Burleson. And I want you to finish the story you were just saying about your son.
So we left right in the critical time, didn't we?
I know. I didn't know what to do, but we had to go to a break. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, the little fellow was laying there on his back, had the wind knocked out of him, and got kicked by this bigger kid. So they were going to stop the whole match, and everybody in the tournament come over there. And so I walked over, and my son looked up at me, and he said, oh, boy. And I could just see what he's thinking. Dad's going to make it all right and take care of me. I bent down and I said, son, this is a great opportunity to see what you're made out of. Get up there and try your best. Don't quit. So he got up, and he fortunately outpointed, and he beat the kid. It wouldn't have made any difference whether he beat him or not. He got up, and of course, he felt like on top of the world after that, turning a defeat into a victory. So there's been several times in his life as an adult that he's come under the same problems. We all do encountered problems that were tough, and I can remember one, and I said, I didn't give him any advice. I said, remember when you were on the floor And that look came across his eyes. Okay, Dad, thanks. And he went out and tackled the problem. To sum that up, in World War II, in the darkest days of England, they had assembled. They needed a speech because England was in despair. The Third Reich was running over them, and they were bombing all the historical sites in England, and it was just as bad as it could be. Blackouts, no light and electricity. So they asked Winston Churchill to stand up and do something that the people could hold on to, give them hope. He stood up, and he did a short speech that is remembered with all the great speeches in history. He just stood up and simply says, never, never, never quit. Set back down to a standing ovation. So that's the PAT principle. P for preparation, A for attitude, and T for tenacity. That's one of the winning successes formulas based on martial art principle that can help us in life.
Well, you're such an inspiration, and you know your son was very fortunate to have you as a father, but we're fortunate that you've gone on to share your gifts and your inspiration with more than just your own family. And I think this might be a good time for you to give your contact information so that people who are listening to you, they may want you to come speak to their organization. They may want to find out more about the Family Karate Program. We'll be talking more about that. It's not just for men. It's for women and even the disabled. Could you please give us some information so that people can contact you?
Well, many years ago, Linda, I had a chain of martial arts schools, and they were quite successful financially. And I came to a place and time in my life where I decided to make a major shift. Rather than me putting my time in with a small group of people for years at a time teaching them martial arts, I wanted to travel around and teach as many people as I could for a shorter amount of time. So workshops and seminars are perfect for me. It gives me a chance to meet families, to impact families with some of these martial art values, and it's a win-win. It's the places that I go, and I travel. I travel very often, mainly on weekends, but families, I feel like, all come to me, write me, and they give me, some of them follow up with data on some of the principles and how it worked for them. So it's a win for them, but it's also a win for me. It helps enrich my life, and that's my payday. So I can be reached on the website, karateusa.com, and I don't care what kind of a group it is, whether it's a PTA group in Minneapolis or whether it's a giant corporation like American. Ask for me, work the details out, and I'll be there.
And I want to just say, just from my own personal experience, that I have seen such progress and growth in my own children and in myself, not just physically, but emotionally, and being able to feel less fear in my life when I'm walking somewhere and it's dark, or just being afraid of knowing that my daughter is going to be somewhere, I won't be there to protect her. It's such a comfort to know that she has some of these skills and knows how to defend herself, knows how to stay aware, knows how to avoid a problem, which I want to talk about. And so I would urge people to look into this program for themselves and their children. It's such a, and this just comes from my heart. I don't get paid to say this at all. This is absolutely from my heart, that it is something, it is a gift that you give your children and your family that you'll never regret.
Certainly a labor of love with me. The seminars that I go to, again, I feel like they're win-win for everybody. I'm not in it only financially. My payday is if I feel like that I've impacted, if I've given one child hope that when they run into obstacles, problems in life, they can think back off of something we did in a technique or we talked about in a philosophical way, and it gives them something to give them hope and put them over the edge with whatever their problem is.
Well, you certainly do that. And we're going to go leave for a short break again, and we'll come back and talk about some of the ways that you train children to avoid fights also, which you always consider to be more important than winning a fight, I know. And we'll be right back with more of the heart of it in just a moment. We're back with Master Pat Burleson talking about karate today. And one of the things that I found fascinating was the way my children were taught how to avoid fights with other children. And I think that's something that I would like, if you wouldn't mind, Master Burleson, sharing with my listeners. I'm sure a lot of mothers are listening, and maybe they can share this with their children.
Yes, and when we get into this, one of our tasks is to make sure we give children straight information and messages. Kids are getting mixed messages about what to do with conflict. First of all, not all families believe the same way. Some families believe to avoid a physical situation no matter what cost. Some family values would say stand up and don't let anybody pick on you. So family to family, the plan alters. And then we get into law enforcement, and the courts are pretty matter-of-fact about what you can and you can't do with violence. But then the school system, you're getting mixed messages on what is tolerated and what isn't there. So the kids haven't got a clue about what they're supposed to do. And then they got to deal with their own feelings of self-esteem about the choices as well. So this issue here is what I'm going to come out with a series of books and tapes on. I think that that's very critical, dealing with a bully. You know, there's a wake-up call a few years ago with Columbine High School. Psychologists told us the reason that happened is that we had kids that had a low self-esteem that were bullied all their life, and then one day they said, no more, and picked up a gun from their parents' home and went around and started killing all the popular people that they felt like that they were left out of the group on. But it was all about low self-esteem, and it was all about bullying. We've all known bullying has been a problem forever, but we had no idea about how damaging to the self-esteem of a child it can be that follows them through life. So I try to address that with skits, Linda, when I go somewhere. First of all, try to get into ideas about how to avoid the situations. And we talk about being in martial arts, you're a leader, you're not a follower. You don't follow people decisions, get into cars with people that you don't know where they're going, what they're doing, and let other people, your peer pressure, talk you into doing what you know is wrong. So we try to put the emphasis that martial arts develop leaders, not followers, and you can simply make the choices that will take you away from a lot of the problems and everything. But then actually, I get into the actual situation. So what I do in a seminar is I create a crime scene, and in this crime scene, we take different ways that you can be attacked. I usually work with a robbery. Somebody's going to come up and take your money. And then I teach them four responses and have them all anchored in and practice good guy, bad guy. One guy's a bad guy, a bully robber, and the other's a victim. Then they change roles. I want everybody to experience what each role is, the bad guy role and the good guy too, because there's value even trying to get into the feelings of why someone commits a crime. So the kids really get into it. They take turns, and I have four little scenarios that I have them go through. Do we have time for those now?
Yes, we have about 3 minutes left, four.
All right, let's see if I can't get the. All right, I have a first show and demo, and I have all the kids in attendance go up and play and practice back and forth. One, they take turns being the good guy, bad guy. And the first response to a crime where the bully comes up and says, hey, you little kid, give me your money or I'm going to mash your face in, stuff like that. I have them comply. They don't say anything. They just reach in their pocket and give the bully what they demanded, the money. And then we talk about it. Talk about feelings. So how do you feel? How do you feel as a bully doing it? How do you feel as the person letting somebody run over you? And, of course, no one likes that. And I said, well, there is one value in that. There wasn't any violence. You lost some money, but there wasn't a fight. So that's the value of if you choose to take that route. And next we go into the second scenario, which is refuse. So the bully comes up in the skit and says, give me your money, I'm going to punch you in the face. And the kid just simply looks at him in the eye and says, no. And then we talk about that and how, you know, how does that make you feel? Well, it makes them a little feeler. I said, now, there's risk involved in that. You may make a person angry by refusing them, and you may have to back it up with self-defense. There is a risk, but it's not your choice now. You've stood your ground, and it's the robber's responsibility to make the next move. And third scenario is to confront the robber or the attacker. And the bully comes up and asks for the money, and the person says, no, I'm not, and I want you to understand that this is a crime, and you will go to jail if I report this. You'll go to juvenile detention for this. This is a crime, and I want you to understand it, and I will report it because you're not going to rob me. This is a, you know, you're not going to be a criminal. I'm not a victim. And then I have the person put his arm and says, well, you know, I'd rather be your friend. I understand you're having a little tough time with academics. I could turn you in and help you with math. I mean, let's just be friends instead. And of course, they love that.
Yeah.
The feeling behind that. And the fourth response is when a person comes up to rob you, you pull the money out, stick it in their hand, you grab their hand, and you do a heel palm strike to their face. Mm-hmm. And I said, now, what you just did was educate the criminal, this young fledgling criminal, that crime doesn't pay. You know, if he got away with robbing you, maybe the next thing is he's going to deal drugs. Maybe the next thing is he's going to vandalize cars, steal cars. He gets a little older. Maybe he's going to go to prison. So you just showed him that crime doesn't pay. And of course, they laughed about that. I said, now, what I want you to do as a task from this seminar, I want you to go home and talk to your parents. Get guidance from them. Ask them what sort of prescription, plan of action you have when you're faced with a similar situation. If someone's going to take something from you or they're going to hurt you, you need to talk to your parents. And I said, this is an individual family decision.
And you do. You always send the children back, and you do build a sense of family. And parents are very included in this program and always feel very supported in your program. And I think that's an important point to bring out, too. Thank you for that. We'll be right back. Another short break. More with Pat Burleson on 10th Degree Master Black Belt. More about karate in just a moment. And we're back with our last segment with Master Pat Burleson, expert in karate. Master Burleson, something that also that I was surprised to hear about was and saddened is that you had a heart attack 2 years ago. And I'm wondering how that has affected your life and how you've gone about the healing process for that.
Well, first of all, Linda, it was just a giant surprise because I've always kept myself in immaculate condition, cardio, weight, and everything. I train constantly, and I've never not trained all my life. So one night when I couldn't breathe in the middle of the night and I drove myself down to an emergency room, I thought I had the flu or something, but I got down there and the doc took the test and I said, Doc, I think I've got the flu. I had it one time. This is how I feel. I can't breathe, but I hadn't taken antibody because I just don't like them. But you know, if that's what I need, give me an antibiotic. So he took some tests, and he says, good news, bad news. He said, your hard-headedness paid off. You don't have your lungs are clear, so you didn't need an antibiotic. Bad news is we got some stuff going on with your heart. And, of course, that just floored me, and they did all the tests and everything. Well, what it was, it's not a traditional heart attack. From birth, Linda, I had what they call a condition called tortuous arteries. I had twisted heart arteries all around. Instead of flowing smooth and everything, they were all tangled and twisted. I guess, apparently, from what they said, I'd always had the condition. So the arteries themselves, they're a little easier to calcify on those twisted areas. So I had some blood flow stop. The heart was fine. I just wasn't getting oxygen to it. So they did a traditional bypass and bypass those tangled areas, and immediately I started breathing better than what I did when I was 18 years old. Since then, though, for the first 6 months of rehabbing, I pretty well listened to my doctors and did exactly what they said up until they started loading me up with all the heart medications, all the statins and everything. And I went along that path for a few months, and finally got on the internet and I got into books and everything. I just started inhaling all the information on alternative healing with supplements and other things, and just took a real active part against some of the traditional doctor's wishes. So it's been 2 years and I'm not on any medication right now. I am in perfect health. Now I have went to some alternative doctors. I've did some chelation, which is an IV drip for heavy metals, and a doctor has to administer that, but the heart is not an acknowledged heart protocol, but I had photographs taken of my arteries at the Cooper Aerobic Center, and they're perfectly clear since the chelation. And I've also went to a naturopathic doctor who just opened a whole new world of Pandora's box and healing to me. So I think probably, you know, so many times in life, when a tragedy happens, you can look back and say, Well, there were some good things to it. So there were some good things about that. I've gained knowledge of alternative healing that I would never have taken the time to do had it not been for that heart surgery, the artery surgery.
You're not giving advice to anyone to go off of their heart medication, but you're just saying that in your situation, you were able to find alternatives that have worked for you.
Well, that's it for me. The what I was seeing is the all the different statin drugs, the cholesterol drugs. As far as that goes, even the artery disease itself, I don't think cholesterol is a problem. The new education out right now that cardiologists are not using as a protocol is inflamed arteries. It's the reason it gets there and the reason they plug up to start with. It's just, it's something you can, the information is out there about alternative concepts. And I believe the problem is a lot of people die in the process of the newer education about that disease. It's so slow in getting to doctor's offices, even though it's in the colleges and it's in the books now. A lot of 90% of the people treating heart disease right now aren't getting that education. They're still treating it 20 years ago.
And you were very lucky because you had... I'm sorry, what?
I think the drugs are horrible. That's my personal opinion. I think the side effects to them, they haven't even got to what possible side effects to a lot of those drugs are.
Well, I think the most important thing is to be your own best advocate and become as knowledgeable as you can and research. And
that's it, Linda. Any one thing, the clear thing is don't go to a doctor and let them make all the decisions for you. Of course, trust doctors. They're very highly educated. They save lives, but they're not the end all. Be active in your own healing and find out a lot of your own education. It is your heart, if that's it, or it is your cancer, whatever the catastrophic disease is. I think each person owes it to themselves to be a part of the decision-making process of the protocol that's medically used.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us, Master Burleson, because you were one of the lucky ones who had something happen like that put you on this course. Some people don't have a second chance to find out. Luckily, you caught the symptoms early and were able to do something. And I always urge people that before the symptoms get very intense, to start researching at that point so they have a little time to try some alternatives before maybe the only option is surgery. You know, we're just about out of time here. I want to thank you so much.
Can I say one more thing, Linda? Quick thing?
Yes, you can.
If there's any advice, anybody listening to me out there that has had heart or artery problems, check into chelation, C-H-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. It's a doctor administered IV drip that does work, and it does clear arteries out.
And you had the medical...
It's non-surgical, non-invasive.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, and that's why I have this show, as you know, is to get this information out to people, to give them hope and courage to check out their options, that not to go not against regular medicine, but in addition to consulting with a traditional medical doctor, check out other options, too. In many cases, have no downside at all and can only help. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I want to thank Master Pat Burleson for helping us get to the heart of how the study of the martial arts is more than just learning the physical art of self-defense. It builds self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-discipline. Master Burleson's goal is to have karate serve as a way to empower each student to excel in all areas of their lives. I've seen my children benefit in all the ways we discussed on today's program, and I've experienced this myself. You don't have to be in perfect physical shape or become a black belt in order to learn how to better physically defend yourself and build your self-confidence in the process. Whatever your age, I encourage you to look into the study of karate as another option available for you to grow and become more powerful in your life. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me again for more of The Heart of It.